Hour number three on a Wednesday morning. Ben Higgins, Paul Reindel, no Stephen Woods today. People asking in the chat, where is Woodsy? If you didn't hear us talk about it earlier, Woods is taking his kids to the Magic Kingdom today. The happiest place on earth. Last night might have been Petco Park. It's always nice to get a win. But yeah, Woods is at Disneyland today. He's going to come back tomorrow and Friday to wrap up the week. But you, Paul, you got to hang a little bit with Woodsy after the show yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't get my invitation.
Well, you don't play baseball.
That's true.
Yeah. Would you have gone if we did invite you?
No.
Okay. There you go.
So you went and played baseball.
No, we went and worked out a little bit. Went to batting cages. Our buddy David has some cages out in the Miramar area. So we went up there, we met up, and it was him and Bo, and then me, and just trying to get some things dialed in our swing, play on Sunday leagues for the tier ones there, and things were just feeling a little off, and David got us feeling real good. So I'm loving where the swing's at now, and it's feeling good, but dude, I just want to give props, and I think they're already at Disneyland. Wood said they were going to get a really early start, so I don't know that they're listening right now. But if they are, I want to give Bo Wood some props. That kid truly has a great swing on him for 6 years old. Not even just because for 6 years old. Like, he has a genuinely great baseball swing, and I haven't asked Woods about this, and I want to ask him next time I talk to him, maybe tomorrow. Now, you also have two children. It's been a while since they were 6 and 3.
Yes.
Do you notice when they're that young in particular, you're around them all day, every day, do you notice like their growth? Because when I see Bo every couple of weeks, I feel like he has aged 3 years. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
No, you don't see it in front of your eyes. It always, for me, it would be like...
Like, I know the saying is, oh, you know, a blink of an eye and then they're going to be
18. I'd look at a picture from 6 months ago and go, oh my God, you know, they changed so much in just 6 months. But
you don't really notice
it? From a day-to-day basis, you don't really notice it. But it continues. It never stops. 6 and 3, 8 and 6, yeah. 12 and 10.
I mean, dude, I'm sitting there at the cages. Like, Woodsy was working with David, and so I was pitching to Bo and just hanging out with him. And, like, we're having, like, I just, when this show started back in 2018, Bo was not, like, a month and a half years old. Like, he was a baby. And so we have kind of grown as a show with Bo and now with Taylor. And to sit there and have like a full-on conversation, like I'm talking to an adult with Bo, it was just so cool. It was so much fun. I love both of those kids so much, Uncle Paulie. And just to see Bo, and I'm like, every like 2 or 3 weeks I probably see him. He comes out to our Tier 1 games on Sundays, or he comes in the studio here, whatever. I'll see him and I'll be like, holy crap, he's gotten bigger. His voice sounds deeper. Like, he's more mature already. And it's just every 2 weeks.
It's funny that you mentioned the voice, because for me, and Woods is far from this stage yet, the biggest change came actually when they turned into teenagers. And, you know, they had their first cell phones. And I remember my oldest son, you know, recorded his outgoing voice message. And it was in his pre-voice change, high voice, you know, the high...
Hey. Hi, how's it going?
It's Jack. Leave a message. And then he didn't change it. And as his voice changed over the years, and I would call and I would think, oh, it's funny, I still get to hear his child voice when I call. And then he changed it one day, and I was almost like,
you're sad.
Sad. It almost like was a punch in the stomach. Like, oh, childhood is truly gone now, because now he talks with a deep voice like I do. And my other son does as well. My other son just started a new job yesterday, working in Carlsbad at a new store. Said it went really well. So, yeah, you get a whole new set of challenges. They keep growing, though, and they keep getting older, and now they're just adults, and they're not children anymore. But you just hope that you savor the time as they're, you know, as they are growing up, because it goes really fast and you don't ever get it back. And sometimes you wish you could go back and have them be little again. But ultimately the goal is to get them to be, you know, productive human beings and adults. And every step you take toward that is actually successful, even if it does hurt a little bit as parents to see them not be your little kids anymore. So I'm glad Woods is taking some time out today getting to go do this.
100%. Taking them to Disneyland, that's always a fun treat. And, you know, it's just like kids aren't in the plans for me and Megan, but Woods and I kind of have a similar background with father figures in our life, or lack thereof. And so to see him just being such a good dad constantly, 24/7, and watching him in the cages with Bo yesterday, and just the S talking back and forth, and the fun that they have all the time. It was really, really sweet moment. I really enjoyed it.
Getting a lot of reaction from the tier ones on the Brian Kenny segment. Brian Kenny is definitely unhinged. East County Chris, Brian Kenny might get me to cut the cord. The SD Nandalorian says that has got to be the most delusional take I've ever heard, ever. That was pretty crazy.
Man.
And we don't need to belabor it. Everyone says dumb stuff on TV and radio, sports talkers all the time. It does feel like Brian Kenny has, whether it's conscious or unconscious now, has a vendetta or just bad feelings toward the San Diego Padres that he seems to let out on the air a little bit too often. And again,
if this was Brian Kenny on WFAN or something,
right, it wouldn't
in New
matter.
York, it wouldn't. It would still be stupid, and the clips would probably come around every once in a while. This is MLB Network, and they're supposed to be, you know, like NFL Network is more homer biased opinions in favor of anything that the teams do in their league, because it's all one big partnership, you know, whereas ESPN, who's also a partner of the NFL, but they may criticize a little bit more. You don't really see it that often on the league ran and operated networks, and I just think this is getting to be absurd right now with Brian Kenny.
Padres did get the 6-4 win yesterday to snap their 5-game losing streak. Yu Darvish with 5 shutout innings, very efficient, 70 pitches in his return from the injured list, and hopefully that continues. Padres need a good turn through the rotation. Joe Musgrove will get a very important start today as he tries to bounce back. Joe has given up 8 home runs in his last 4 starts, including, of course, 4 in his last outing against the Philadelphia Phillies on Friday night. The Padres need Joe Musgrove to be more Joe Musgrove-like. Now, even though he didn't have his best stuff early in the season, he battled to the point where, had the Padres scored some runs for him, you know, he's 3-3. He could have won a couple more of those games. He kept the Padres in games. It was the last start against the Phillies that really he never gave them a real chance. They need to get Joe back to at least being the guy who pitches, you know, 6-7 innings, keeps them, you know, in the game, 2 or 3 runs at most. And yeah, what they really need is Joe to go out there and throw a really special Joe-type performance. 7 innings, 1 run. Padres put some runs on the board. Win the series. Move on. You get a day off tomorrow. This is the end of your longest stretch of the year so far. 13 games in 13 days. You get an off day tomorrow. And then it's off to the Beehive in Arizona to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. First meeting against a team that is, by the way, also off to a slow start coming off their World Series appearance last year. They did win last night over the Dodgers, but like the Padres, the Diamondbacks are 3 games below .500, which means this next series is going to be pretty important as well. One team, you know, could emerge with some momentum and moving forward and up in the standings and feeling like things are okay. The other one, if they lose the series or get swept, is going to feel like, all right, now we're buried in fourth. We got a bunch of teams ahead of us. We got to climb our way back to .500. How long is that going to take? It's going to be another important early season series for the Padres this weekend at Chase Field. And it's a place where, you know, historically it's been a tough one for the Padres to get victories at. So, you know, take that day off and build some momentum into what is going to be a big weekend series against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Big game today. Would love a series win. It would feel like such a gut punch to lose today after, you know, snapping that 5-game losing streak yesterday, having a fairly clean win. I mean, it was 6-4. The game was certainly not, you know, you didn't ever put the Reds away, but you also never felt like, okay, they're going to lose this game. They're going to blow this. Like, they let them back in, but the Padres were really in control for the majority of the night. And to come out, you would love to see Joe Musgrove really get back to form. And like you said, get some momentum heading into a divisional series this weekend.
Yeah, I made the point earlier. I was one off. If they win today, Padres will be 4-2-1 in their last 7 series. So it would be 4 series wins, 2 series losses, and 1 series split of the 4-gamer in Colorado. It's not exactly completely scuffling and struggling. Now, at the start of that stretch was when they took on the Chicago Cubs in early April. They were 2 games under .500. If they win today, They will be two games under 500, and then we'll be back to 500 over that stretch over the last 3 weeks or so against the Cubs, Dodgers, Brewers, Blue Jays, Rockies, Phillies, and Reds. Other than the Rockies, and we know what happened in that series. It was disappointing. They needed to take three out of four or sweep, and they didn't. But other than that, you're playing a bunch of good teams, and you're treading water, and it's not the worst outcome. So you get the win today. You head into the start of May here with a day off tomorrow. You don't have to feel that bad about where the San Diego Padres are. We'll see if Joe Musgrove can do it. He'll be going up against Graham Ashcraft, who is a right-hander, 3-1 with a 4.40 ERA for the Cincinnati Reds. Had a pretty good outing his last time out against the Texas Rangers. They lost, but he went six innings and gave up just one run. Before that, though, he had a couple of outings with five runs allowed against the Angels and the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll see what the Padres can do offensively today against Graham Ashcraft. That's a 12:10 EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. First pitch with Jesse and Bob Scanlon at 1:10 this afternoon here on 97.3 The Fan. Other baseball news and notes from last night. Saw the post, Luis Patino, who the Padres signed this offseason, and never really showed up. He was there at spring training, but never really got going. He had Tommy John surgery. He had a post from the hospital bed saying it's successful. I saw our friend Emily Nyman had posted that. So, Luis Patino's out for the rest of the year. I don't believe the Padres have any rights to him beyond this year. So a little flyer on signing Patino and getting him back did not work out. I don't think it cost them really much or any money to do so. But we won't be seeing Luis Patino pitching for the San Diego Padres this year. Had a pretty interesting game yesterday. The Cardinals and Tigers played the doubleheader. Did you see what Jack Flaherty did for the Tigers?
No.
So former Cardinals pitcher going up against his old team, tied the American League record. He struck out the first seven batters of the game. So into the third inning, he tied Blake Snell and others who have shared that record in the American League. He finished, he only pitched 6 2/3 innings only, but he struck out 14 batters. So at one point when he was in the fifth and sixth, he was actually kind of on the pace for a 21 strikeout game, which is the all-time baseball record. And then the Tigers didn't even win the game. The Cardinals scored two runs in the ninth inning to win it 2-1. That is a wasted pitching performance, but one of the best ones of the season we've seen so far came from Jack Flaherty yesterday of the Detroit Tigers. You had the bad game of the day was the Marlins and the Rockies, both teams with over 20 losses. This was a weird one. The Rockies scored five in the top of the first, and then no one scored the rest of the game until the bottom of the ninth, when the Marlins scored five in the bottom of the ninth to send the game to extra innings. And then the Rockies scored one in the top of the 10th, and the Marlins scored two in the bottom of the 10th to win it 7-6. So the Marlins are now 7-24. The Rockies are 7-22. And both of those teams definitely battling for the title of worst team in baseball through the first month of the season. But that was definitely one of the odd games. I saw Juan Soto hit one completely out of Camden Yards onto Utah Street.
Cool.
Which they lost, though, that game 4-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. But he did hit another big home run. And a former Padre alert, Victor Caratini, hit a walk-off two-run home run with two outs in the 10th inning to lift the Astros to a 10-9 win over the Cleveland Guardians. Jeff Blum, our show friend, was on the call, and he said, "I like a couple of olives with my Caratini," as he rounded the bases. Got a little punny, which I always appreciate. All right, we'll come back. Brett Boone is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, so stay tuned for that. Also had some comments. LeBron James, the future of LeBron. Basketball Ben will make a brief appearance.
Oh, boy.
Just when Woods is gone, you know it's going to happen. Do you, and Paul, you're a basketball fan more than Woods is, do you really envision a scenario where Bronny and LeBron are going to play together next year? Like, that could happen for the Lakers or another team. Is that really a scenario that you think will play out in the NBA next year?
Absolutely.
You do?
Okay. I do.
Well, we'll talk about it when we come back with Ben Woods. Check traffic. More on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Paul, that's very exciting news that he just shared with me during
the
break.
Big day.
Paulie has his very first own personal Costco membership card. Oh, it's an exciting world of Costco shopping.
Damn.
Can I recommend, make sure you go through the clothes. I am a big fan of Costco's
settle down
clothing selection. They even have shoes. I know you like Shoe Game. Check out some of the kicks that
insane?
They have available at Costco. Have you ever gotten a great deal, like $12 shoes? They have some there at Costco for sure.
You're a monster.
Socks.
I get my clothes
underwear
at the Ben & Woods merch store.
That's true. Paulie is wearing Ben & Woods merch. He's a good producer and today co-host with Woods out at Disneyland with his kids.
Yeah, so I never had a Costco membership as a single adult. I didn't really have the need to go to Costco very often for just one person. And then since I've been with my girlfriend and now wife, Megan, she was on a family plan with her mom and sister or whatever. And so we would go together and use her card. But we finally have branched off and got our own plan. And so now I have my own Costco card with my picture and everything on it.
Do you, and I will ask this kind of all the tier ones out there as well. So Costco, you know, like Trader Joe's, they have the samples set up during the day. Usually the food items are the ones that are most popular. But people will take them so quickly that then the person who is preparing the samples always has to say, just give me like 3 or 4 minutes and we'll put some more out. And then people start congregating and hovering around until the samples come
back
out. And I always feel so like uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to just stand here and wait for the sample. That is, I mean, come on, just buy it.
Something's like in the little toaster oven. Sit here and talk with this person.
In the little stove that they've got, and you're waiting for it to be finished and reheated from frozen.
So, how's your day going?
And you're just standing there. It's the most awkward moment at Costco when you're standing around with other people waiting for the free sample, the tiny little bite of something. So I just pass by. Now, there's no better feeling when there's no one there and you're walking by and they just put something fresh out right in front of you and you just grab it as you walk by, pop it in your mouth, toss the little paper into the trash, and you just move on with your day. It's great. And I know they're trying to tempt you into buying things. I rarely buy the things that they are actually selling me as a sample.
The samples are usually good, but they're not. They're, you're like, wait, what aisle?
Yeah.
I have to
No,
have
they're
this.
Good. They're, to me, it's just kind of entertainment as I'm walking around the store.
That was the best shot of grapefruit juice I've ever had in my life.
Exactly. I'm not buying 3 gallons of it, though. So have fun with your new Costco membership.
I can't wait. I'm going today after the show.
Quick update from Adam Jones. I just saw he tweeted just a couple of minutes ago. Fact that British Airways is the worst when it comes to international travel. How the F you just take someone off a flight and reroute them 200 miles away from where they were going? How? Just how? Oh, awesome for you, £10, whatever that means. You said he was heading to Baltimore. Did they, like, send him to, like, D.C. or somewhere in Virginia instead? Like, hey, you're close. We got you near Baltimore. That's good enough. I'm not sure what happened to him.
He was in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, we just landed in London when I originally texted him this morning. Like, hey, you still good? So they got to London, and then he said, on my way to Baltimore.
On his way to Baltimore. Well, obviously, he's having some difficulties getting there, courtesy of British Airways.
How the F you just take someone off a flight?
Reroute them 200 miles. That's not where I want to go. That would be like sending someone.
What's 200 miles away from Baltimore?
I think Washington, D.C. is a lot closer than 200 miles. So I was thinking maybe like, what would be to like Philadelphia or something? I mean, that's probably even closer than that. I have no idea where they're sending him instead, or maybe he wasn't supposed to go to a different airport in London or something. I have no idea. But
Philly to Baltimore is only 100 miles.
Yeah, that's even 100 miles. How do you get 200 miles off of where you were supposed to be going on your flight?
I don't know.
All right, so just quickly, I wanted to bring up, because LeBron sent out a tweet yesterday, said, hey, I'm going to go spend some time with my family. When I know what my future looks like, I will let everybody know, but just back off, essentially. The speculation, the reports of what I'm doing, I don't even know what I'm doing yet. So clearly LeBron could continue to play basketball if he wants. He's all-star for 20th straight season. There's no question that he has the talent and was good enough that if he wants to play another year, wants to play another 2, even 3 years, I have no doubt that LeBron could do it. But he'd also said a couple of months ago, we're getting kind of close to the end. I don't know when, but we're getting closer and closer. And he said in 2022, my last season, I want to play with my son. I want to play with Bronny in the NBA. Well, Bronny declared for the NBA draft. He also entered the transfer portal from USC a month or so ago. And LeBron said, hey, we're going to make that decision. That's kind of next. If Bronny decides to stay in the draft and go pro, is that how it's going to end? Is LeBron going to play one last season? Will the Lakers somehow draft, like use a draft pick? I think they only have like a second rounder on Bronny James. You know, they have other needs that they could address, but just to keep LeBron happy and playing for the Lakers, will they somehow get him on the team so they can play together for a season? And even if they do, I can't see Bronny James getting a significant amount of playing time. I mean, he's, you know, the fact that he barely played for USC last year, and obviously he had the heart attack, you feel like he'd be more of a G League. You know, you got to develop and eventually get to the NBA. I just don't know that that's a, I don't know it's feasible for LeBron to say, hey, it's got to happen. It's got to happen this year, and you've got to get it done. If he wants to play with Bronny, I think he's going to have to be patient and wait at least two or even three more seasons before it really feels like that's something that he can make happen.
I mean, LeBron's still playing at a very high level. It's not absurd that he could
arguably
play
top 10 player in the NBA still this year at age 39.
Play one more year, and Bronny could transfer to another school and play one more season. I don't know, man. I think the Lakers, it's kind of a ceremonious draft pick if they were to do that. And I can
exactly
see it working
it's
out.
It's a waste of a draft pick. Sorry. I mean, it is.
Yeah, but you're making LeBron James happy.
You are.
You kind of have to do things that you maybe don't want to do when you have a superstar like LeBron James. Also, if I'm, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies and I have a second round pick and I'm thinking,
will LeBron sign if we take Bronny James?
The other person we probably would have, you know, who's probably the better draft pick, probably not going to have that much of an impact on our team.
And
but
he's not going to bring LeBron James to town.
Can we get LeBron James for a season?
It's weird. It kind of
the dollars would absolutely equate to making that a good decision.
Yeah, it kind of cheapens the draft a little bit if you're going to do that. I don't really care so much. I should probably be having this conversation with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Who's the better NBA prospect right now after their college season that they just had? Jaden Ledee or Bronny James?
Yeah, like Ledee is a possible second-round draft pick. I haven't seen his name on actual mock drafts, but I would think that he is a better prospect at this moment than Bronny James would be after his freshman year. I did get into an argument with my son who said, Lakers have to fire Darvin Ham. And I go, I don't know. I mean, I thought the Lakers played better this year than they did last year. You're playing me off now, aren't you?
Now we're getting in the weeds here.
Fine. I know they got eliminated in the first round. They played better against Denver.
Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Brett Boone is going to join us when we come back. Basketball talk is done. Baseball talk returns next with Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Maggie says basketball Ben shows up, doesn't even talk about the crazy Sixers-Knicks game yesterday. Well, I could, but Paulie would just play me off. Actually, Paulie admitted he even watched the end of that game with Tyrese Maxey scoring 7 in the last 25 seconds to keep the Sixers alive. Maybe the game of the playoffs so far. So there you go, Maggie. It was that was fantastic. Even Paulie was watching that game. But we're going to talk some more baseball here. Brett Boone is standing by, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. We will get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, we're joined right now by Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Brett, you got me and Paul today. Woodsy's at Disneyland. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, guys.
I saw you had a good crew out at the game this weekend, too, at Petco Park. Who was there? Andy Ashby. I saw Brian Lawrence in that picture. A couple of Randy Jones was there.
Randy's he's the staple.
Yeah.
Every time it seems like I go to a game, there's Randy. What a good dude.
You can't get rid of him even if you wanted to. Yeah.
Is he like is he just the usher for the owner's box? Like he works there now?
He's great. He comes over. He's like, Booney, what are you doing?
Hey, Booney.
Hey, Randy. He goes, I want to thank you for coming out today. I said, you didn't even ask me to come. I got invited by Tommy Seidler. And he's like, well, I just have to say that. So I love Randy Jones. What a great man. And Yeah, Rupert Jones was there. Passed, and then
Chris Gomez. Yeah,
Gomez was there. It was good to see Gomez. I haven't seen him in a long time. Loretta was floating around, but I guess business called, so he didn't get in the stellar picture.
Always working with it. You were at Sunday's game, so you saw the Phillies complete the sweep. Tough series for the San Diego Padres. They did bounce back last night. I just want to get, first of all, just some of your observations on what you saw from the team, you know, up close and getting to see them in action. That was the able to pull that one out either. Phillies just had an answer for everything the Padres did on Sunday.
Well, sometimes in this game over 162, you catch a team, and it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to beat you. Phillies are in that mode right now. I mean, they were just kind of in the zone, and you just want them to get out of town as soon as possible. Always nice to sneak a game out, but they weren't able to do that. I'm watching this team. You know, Padres are sitting there. They're 15-18, kind of in the middle of the division. A lot of these teams in this division that I thought were going to be off to a better start than this aren't. So they're in the middle of the pack. I don't know. I think we see some real positive signs from the young kid, Merrill. How was he going to do at 20 years old starting the season? He's held his own. Profar's been a real boon for them. But it comes to Cronenworth off to a good start. But you need the big guy. You need Tatis, Machado, Bogarts. They're going to be the guys that carry this offense. Now, on the pitching side, it was good to see Darvish back last night, pitched 5 scoreless innings, got the Padres back on the winning trail after dropping 5 straight. The concern for me is I think Dylan Cease is going to be good. I think King's still in that in-between mode, you know, where he's been a reliever, he's a starter. It seems he's got nasty stuff, but it seems he always finds one inning where he makes a couple mistakes that cost him. That's happened to him in a couple of the starts this year. Waldron's done a nice job. I was watching Musgrove the other day, and I have a little concern with Musgrove. He's just not right. He seems like he doesn't want to throw the fastball, and when he does throw the fastball, he doesn't want to throw the fastball for a strike. That really becomes, from an offensive perspective, it really becomes a predictable thing. So right now, as a hitter, I know he doesn't want to throw me a fastball for a strike, so I can just ignore the fastball and sit on the breaking ball. Problem is, too, is when he's throwing the breaking ball, he's either hanging it or he's missing by a foot and a half off the plate. So it's not a swing and miss pitch. And when it is a strike, it's right in the middle of the plate. So he's got some things that he's got to work out. I mean, Musgrove, I've loved this guy ever since he's become a Padre. I think he's a horse, but he's got some things to work out right now. Really predictable with that fastball. And I remember guys in my generation, they go through that where before the game, we'd have a team meeting, especially with the hitters, and say, hey, this guy don't want to throw you a fastball for a strike. And a lot of times, as soon as I hear that, I ignore fastball. If he throws me 3 fastballs down the middle, I'm going to tip my cap and move on to the dugout. But when I feel like you're scared and you're not quite trusting in your fastball, it makes easy pickings, especially for an elite team that'll wait you out and sit on that breaking ball.
So let me ask you this, Brett, because Joe's pitching today. And his struggles have led to speculation that the shoulder injury that shut him down last year may be having an effect. That, you know, the velo's down a little bit. The command, obviously, as you said, on the breaking ball is not quite there. And it's led people to say, well, maybe he's not right. Now, Joe denies that. He says, no, I feel healthy. I feel good to go. As a player, how often would you hide an injury? Would you downplay an injury because you want to stay in the lineup? You want to work it out on the field. And at what point does that become a disservice to your team where you actually do need to say, you know what, I'm not right, and you probably do need to shut me down for a little bit? What's that, you know, that equation like in your head as a player when you're thinking about addressing it with your manager or the training staff?
Well, I've had, I was pretty lucky in my career not to have too many injuries, but You point out a good, especially in today's game, there's a great point there. These guys today, they'll shut you down for anything. It's like, oh, I'm a little sore up, that take a week off. You know, it seems like the 10-day IL is like no big deal. Whereas in my day, it was kind of, wait a minute, I can't miss 10 games. You know, I've got numbers to hit. I need to be out there for my teammates. So it becomes, it's a subjective thing, if you know what I'm saying. I've had injuries. Like I said, I was very lucky to be pretty injury-free throughout my career. I had a couple that, that held me back. But for the most part, I was pretty healthy. When I did have something that I was dinged up and was affecting me, I'd always caution on the side of, I feel fine, don't worry about it. Now, depending on who's in the mix, yeah, the guys I can trust, I'm going to go to and say, hey, my quads, it's kind of hurting me right now, but I can get through this. And it's really, there's no foolproof way to really decide, is he right, is he wrong? It's like, you kind of got to trust the player, and hey, if you're 90%, I'll take a Joe Musgrove at 90% versus shutting him down. Now, I don't want an injury to be a possibility because you're not 100%, you're 90%. But at the same time, you got to kind of make that adjustment. I was a second baseman, middle of the lineup guy. If I was 80%, I felt, well, 80% kind of is better than the alternative. But when it gets to a point where it's hurting your team, you kind of have to kind of look in the mirror with clear lenses and just say, you know, this isn't good for me right now. This isn't good for my team right now. I got to go and I got to take care of this and get healthy and back to pitching the way I can. Because Joe Musgrove, as we all know and have seen throughout the years, when he's right, he's a horse, top of the rotation guy that you can count on. When you come to the ballpark and Musgrove's pitching and it is in peak Musgrove form, you think, we got a win for us tonight. So it's one of those things. It's a touchy situation where you kind of have to make the judgment. It's usually the player, especially an established one of the main guys. He's usually got a little more leeway than a rookie that just came up as far as whether he's going to go or he's not going to go. It's up to Joe. But what I saw last start, I see a few things that trouble me a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how he throws the ball today.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry. Backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So this is actually Paulie's idea, and I thought it was a brilliant question to ask you. We played some audio earlier today. Brian Kenny on MLB Network was talking about trading Fernando Tatis Jr.
Have you seen this clip going around?
I don't know if you've seen the clip, but he basically says, he says no one would take Fernando Tatis Jr. because his numbers are down since the suspension, and no one would want to take on that contract. I think that's one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
Maybe one team might be interested in trading.
I think there'd be 29 teams that would be interested in Fernando Tatis Jr. And then he said, maybe like Nick Castellanos and a pitching prospect if the Phillies offered that. I go, Petco Park would riot if they traded Fernando Tatis Jr. for Nick Castellanos right now. There's no chance. But it Paulie then had the idea. Obviously, dumb things are said about professional athletes all the time by members of the media. Do you remember in your career any time that something like really stupid was said about Brett Boone in the media and you heard it and like you either had to react or not react to it? You had to comment about it. What were some of the like dumb things that would get said about you as a ball player?
Or even a teammate, maybe.
Or a teammate even, yeah.
Well, back in our day, it was different. It was different. The pay scale was different. Don't get me wrong. We were paid very handsomely in my day, not compared to what the guys were playing today, but it seemed like every year, and I remember the last contract I signed in the early 2000s, and I went out and I was, I was a second baseman. I was coming off an 0-1 year where it would be tough for me to match the numbers.
That was a great year. Yeah.
0-2, I drove in like 109 and hit, I don't know, 25 or 26 homers, hit 280. And I remember the calls where Boone's overrated. He's way overpaid. And I'm going, overpaid? I'm a second baseman driving in over 100, winning gold gloves. And it was just a different time. Now, as far as ludicrous, I'll tell you what, I can say it now because I'm, 17 years removed. There were some things that came out that seemed so ludicrous that, what are you talking about? Where really there was some truth to it, but I would dismiss it because it was so ridiculous. Oh, come on. I didn't do that on a golf course. With this guy's crazy. And behind the scenes, I'm going, well, he's got something there. But no, not too many crazy things. This Tatis thing by Kenny, I haven't seen it, but what you guys are telling me, that's absurd. I mean, Fernando Tatis, yeah, he's got a long way to go. But he's got that. He's the full package. And when he's going and when he gets it right, he's got that MVP type ability. And not to mention the swagger that he's got. He's got that LA De La Cruz, Acuna, that persona that, you know, you put them on the cover of the media guide for the next 10 years, and he brings people in. People in San Diego go to the ballpark to watch Fernando Tatis Jr. play, and there's not too many people. Trout does that. A Bryce Harper does that. Now we're seeing some young players that people will come to the ballpark. Of course, Ohtani. You'll come to the ballpark to watch Ohtani play. Tatis is in that category of draws that, yeah, you just can't get away from it. You know, especially people that aren't baseball fans. It's like, you want a Padre game? Yeah, I want to see this Tatis Jr. kid play. I mean, he's that type of draw. So to say that one of 2019, that's a little bit ludicrous. I'm not going to say 29 teams would trade for him, but let's be realistic here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the Marlins aren't going to trade for him right now because there are some teams that just don't want to spend any money, but that's a different issue entirely.
Can you even imagine, Booney, like, walking into the clubhouse before all your pregame warm-ups, you got MLB Network on in the clubhouse there, and, like, they're talking about a scuffling, maybe, not even really scuffling. Fernando's having a fine, he's doing okay, so he's good, he's in...
No, he's doing okay. I'll tell you what, for his standards, no, he's not doing okay. He's got six homers.
Sure.
He's hitting right around 240, but it's the first month.
Yeah, he's but his expected batting average is over 300. He's been one of the unluckiest players in baseball, just ripped lineouts all over the park. I know you knew that feeling when you were squaring it up and it just always seemed to find a glove, and then you'll go through a couple of weeks where you're not hitting it that hard, and all of a sudden they're all blooping in, and it makes no sense for a baseball player.
Right. No, without a doubt. And Tatis, I have full confidence that if he remains healthy, feeling good, the cream will rise to the top. He's too good. Even on his worst year, he'll have a borderline all-star year. That's the type of talent Fernando Tatis is. And I don't worry about anything where his numbers are in April. 3 or 4 months from now, we'll see, and I'll guarantee you, all his numbers will start to fall in place where everybody thinks they should be.
I had a benches clearing, or like a real one, brawl yesterday between the Rays and the Brewers. Not those, you know, baseball, everyone just stands around kind of brawls, but actually some punches thrown. You have any stories for us of real benches clearing brawls that you got involved in during your career?
Wow, man, this is story day. Yeah, I actually got one that I think you'll like. And Pedro Martinez is on the mound. We're in Montreal. This is the early 90s, mid-90s. And he's pitching a perfect game. And I'm watching this, though. I'm hitting behind Reggie Sanders, who was also, you know, Padre. I'm hitting behind Reggie Sanders, and I'm watching how this is. And Pedro's pinpoint this particular day. And he keeps.
Maggie says basketball Ben shows up, doesn't even talk about the crazy Sixers-Knicks game yesterday. Well, I could, but Paulie would just play me off. Actually, Paulie admitted he even watched the end of that game with Tyrese Maxey scoring 7 in the last 25 seconds to keep the Sixers alive. Maybe the game of the playoffs so far. So there you go, Maggie. It was that was fantastic. Even Paulie was watching that game. But we're going to talk some more baseball here. Brett Boone is standing by, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. We will get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, we're joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Brett, you got me and Paul today. Woodsy's at Disneyland. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, guys.
I saw you had a good crew out at the game this weekend, too, at Petco Park. Who was there? Andy Ashby. I saw Brian Lawrence in that picture. A couple of Randy Jones was there.
Randy's he's the staple.
Yeah.
Every time it seems like I go to a game, there's Randy. What a good dude.
You can't get rid of him even if you wanted to. Yeah.
Is he like is he just the usher for the owner's box? Like, he works there
yeah,
now?
He's great. He comes over. He's like, Booney, what are you doing?
Hey, Booney.
Hey, Randy. He goes, I want to thank you for coming out today. I said, you didn't even ask me to come. I got invited by Tommy Seidler. And he's like, well, I just have to say that. So I love Randy Jones. What a great man. And Rupert Jones was there. Passed. And then
Chris Gomez,
Gomey was there. It was good to see Gomey. I haven't seen him in a long time. Loretta was floating around, but I guess business called, so he didn't get in the stellar picture.
Always working with it. You were at Sunday's game, so you saw the Phillies complete the sweep. Tough Tough series for the San Diego Padres. They did bounce back last night. I just want to get, first of all, just some of your observations on what you saw from the team, you know, up close and getting to see them in action. That was the able to pull that one out either. Just kept, Phillies just had an answer for everything the Padres did on Sunday.
Well, sometimes in this game over 162, you catch a team, and it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to beat you. Phillies are in that mode right now. I mean, they were just kind of in the zone, and you just want them to get out of town as soon as possible. Always nice to sneak a game out, but they weren't able to do that. I'm watching this team. You know, Padres are sitting there. They're 15-18, kind of in the middle of the division. A lot of these teams in this division that I thought were going to be off to a better start than this aren't. So they're in the middle of the pack. I don't know. I think we see some real positive signs from the young kid, Merrill. How was he going to do at 20 years old starting the season? He's held his own. Profar's been a real boon for them. But it comes to Cronenworth off to a good start. But you need the big guy. You need Tatis, Machado, Bogarts. They're going to be the guys that carry this offense. Now, on the pitching side, it was good to see Darvish back last night, pitched 5 scoreless innings, got the Padres back on the winning trail after dropping 5 straight. The concern for me is I think Dylan Cease is going to be good. I think King's still in that in-between mode, you know, where he's been a reliever, he's a starter. It seems he's got nasty stuff, but it seems he always finds one inning where he makes a couple mistakes that cost him. That's happened to him in a couple of his starts this year. Waldron's done a nice job. I was watching Musgrove the other day, and I have a little concern with Musgrove. He's just not right. He seems like he doesn't want to throw the fastball, and when he does throw the fastball, he doesn't want to throw the fastball for a strike. That really becomes, from an offensive perspective, it really becomes a predictable thing. So right now, as a hitter, I know he doesn't want to throw me a fastball for a strike, so I can just ignore the fastball and sit on the breaking ball. Problem is, two is when he's throwing the breaking ball, he's either hanging it or he's missing by a foot and a half off the plate. So it's not a swing and miss pitch. And when it is a strike, it's right in the middle of the plate. So he's got some things that he's got to work out. I mean, Musgrove, I've loved this guy ever since he's become a Padre. I think he's a horse, but he's got some things to work out right now. Really predictable with that fastball. And I remember guys in my generation, they go through that where before the game, we'd have a team meeting, especially with the hitters, and say, hey, this guy don't want to throw you a fastball for a strike. And a lot of times, as soon as I hear that, I ignore fastball. If he throws me 3 fastballs down the middle, I'm going to tip my cap and move on to the dugout. But when I feel like you're scared and you're not quite trusting in your fastball, it makes easy pickings, especially for an elite team that'll wait you out and sit on that breaking ball.
So let me ask you this, Brett, because Joe's pitching today. And his struggles have led to speculation that the shoulder injury that shut him down last year may be having an effect. That, you know, the velo's down a little bit. The command, obviously, as you said, on the breaking ball is not quite there. And it's led people to say, well, maybe he's not right. Now, Joe denies that. He says, no, I feel healthy. I feel good to go. As a player, how often would you hide an injury? Would you downplay an injury because you want to stay in the lineup? You want to work it out on the field? And at what point does that become a disservice to your team where you actually do need to say, you know what, I'm not right, and you probably do need to shut me down for a little bit? What's that, you know, that equation like in your head as a player when you're thinking about addressing it with your manager or the training staff?
Well, I've had, I was pretty lucky in my career not to have too many injuries, but You point out a good, especially in today's game, there's a great point there. These guys today, they'll shut you down for anything. It's like, oh, I'm a little sore up, let's take a week off. You know, it seems like the 10-day IL is like no big deal. Whereas in my day, it was kind of, wait a minute, I can't miss 10 games. You know, I've got numbers to hit. I need to be out there for my teammates. So it becomes, it's a subjective thing, if you know what I'm saying. I've had injuries. Like I said, I was very lucky to be pretty injury-free throughout my career. I had a couple that held me back, but for the most part, I was pretty healthy. When I did have something that I was dinged up and was affecting me, I'd always caution on the side of, I feel fine, don't worry about it. Now, depending on who's in the mix, yeah, the guys I can trust, I'm going to go to and say, hey, my quads, it's kind of hurting me right now, but I can get through this. And it's really, there's no foolproof way to really decide, is he right, is he wrong? It's like, you kind of got to trust the player, and hey, if you're 90%, I'll take a Joe Musgrove at 90% versus shutting him down. Now, I don't want an injury to be a possibility because you're not 100%, you're 90%. But at the same time, you got to kind of make that adjustment. I was a second baseman, middle of the lineup guy. If I was 80%, I felt, well, 80% kind of is better than the alternative. But when it gets to a point where it's hurting your team, you kind of have to kind of look in the mirror with clear lenses and just say, you know, this isn't good for me right now. This isn't good for my team right now. I got to go and I got to take care of this and get healthy and back to pitching the way I can. Because Joe Musgrove, as we all know and have seen throughout the years, when he's right, he's a horse, top of the rotation guy that you can count on. When you come to the ballpark and Musgrove's pitching and it is in peak Musgrove form, you think we got a win for us tonight. So it's one of those things. It's a touchy situation where you kind of have to make the judgment. It's usually the player, especially an established one of the main guys. He's usually got a little more leeway than a rookie that just came up as far as whether he's going to go or he's not going to go. It's up to Joe. But what I saw last start, I see a few things that trouble me a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how he throws the ball today.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry, backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. So this is actually Paulie's idea, and I thought it was a brilliant question to ask you. We played some audio earlier today. Brian Kenny on MLB Network was talking about trading Fernando Tatis Jr.
Have you seen this clip going around?
Brian? I don't know if you've seen the clip, but he basically says no one would take Fernando Tatis Jr. because his numbers are down since the suspension, and no one would want to take on that contract. I think that's one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
Maybe one team might be interested in trading.
I think there'd be 29 teams that would be interested in Fernando Tatis Jr. And then he said, maybe like Nick Castellanos and a pitching prospect if the Phillies offered that. I go, Petco Park would riot if they traded Fernando Tatis Jr. for Nick Castellanos right now. There's no chance. But it Paulie then had the idea. Obviously, dumb things are said about professional athletes all the time by members of the media. Do you remember in your career any time that something like really stupid was said about Brett Boone in the media and you heard it and like you either had to react or not react to it? You had to comment about it. What were some of the like dumb things that would get said about you as a ball player?
Or even a teammate, maybe.
Or a teammate even, yeah.
Well, back in our day, it was different. It was different. The pay scale was different. Don't get me wrong. We were paid very handsomely in my day, not compared to what the guys were playing today, but it seemed like every year, and I remember the last contract I signed in the early 2000s, and I went out and I was, let's see, I was a second baseman. I was coming off an 0-1 year where it would be tough for me to match the numbers.
That was a great year, yeah.
0-2, I drove in like 109 and hit, I don't know, 25 or 26 homers, hit 280. And I remember the calls where Boone's overrated. He's way overpaid. And I'm going, I'm a second baseman driving in over 100, winning gold gloves. And it was just a different time. Now, as far as ludicrous, I'll tell you what, I can say it now because I'm, you know, 17 years removed. There were some things that came out that seemed so ludicrous that, what are you talking about? Where really there was some truth to it, but I would dismiss it because it was so ridiculous. Oh, come on. Come on. I didn't do that on a golf course with this guy. He's crazy. And behind the scenes, I'm going, well, he's got something there. But no, not too many crazy things. This Tatis thing by Kenny, I haven't seen it, but what you guys are telling me, that's absurd. I mean, Fernando Tatis, yeah, he's got a long way to go, but he's got that. He's the full package. And when he's going and when he gets it right, he's got that MVP type ability. And not to mention the swagger that he's got. He's got that LA De La Cruz, Acuna, that persona that, you know, you put him on the cover of the media guide for the next 10 years and he brings people in. People in San Diego go to the ballpark to watch Fernando Tatis Jr. play. And there's not too many people. Trout does that. A Bryce Harper does that. Now we're seeing some young players that people will come to the ballpark. Of course, Ohtani. You'll come to the ballpark to watch Ohtani play. Tatis is in that category of draws that, yeah, you just can't get away from it. You know, especially people that aren't baseball fans. It's like, you want a Padre game? Yeah, I want to see this Tatis Jr. kid play. I mean, he's that type of draw. So to say that one of 2019, that's a little bit ludicrous. I'm not going to say 2019's a trade for him, but let's be realistic here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the Marlins aren't going to trade for him right now because there are some teams that just don't want to spend any money, but that's a different issue entirely.
Can you even imagine, Booney, like, walking into the clubhouse before all your pregame warm-ups, you got MLB Network on in the clubhouse there, and, like, they're talking about a scuffling, maybe, not even really scuffling. Fernando's having a fine, he's doing okay, so he's good, he's in... No,
he's doing okay. I'll tell you what, for his standards, no, he's not doing okay. He's got six homers.
Sure.
He's hitting right around .240, but it's the first month.
Yeah, but his expected batting average is over .300. He's been one of the unluckiest players in baseball, just ripped lineouts all over the park. I know you knew that feeling when you were squaring it up and it just always seemed to find a glove, and then you'll go through a couple of weeks where you're not hitting it that hard, and all of a sudden they're all blooping in, and it makes no sense for a baseball player.
Right. No, without a doubt. And Tatis, I have full confidence that if he remains healthy, feeling good, the cream will rise to the top. He's too good. Even on his worst year, he'll have a borderline all-star year. That's the type of talent Fernando Tatis is. And I don't worry about anything where his numbers are in April. 3 or 4 months from now, we'll see. And I'll guarantee you, all his numbers will start to fall in place where everybody thinks they should be.
I had a benches clearing, or like a real one, brawl yesterday between the Rays and the Brewers. Not those, you know, baseball, everyone just stands around kind of brawls, but actually some punches thrown. You have any stories for us of real benches clearing brawls that you got involved in during your career?
Wow, man, this is story day. Yeah, I actually got one that I think you'll like. And Pedro Martinez is on the mound. We're in Montreal. This is the early 90s, mid-90s. And he's pitching a perfect game. And I'm watching this, though. I'm hitting behind Reggie Sanders, who was also, you know, Padre. I'm hitting behind Reggie Sanders, and I'm watching how this is. And Pedro's pinpoint this particular day. And he keeps buzzing Reggie's tower and then striking him out with breaking balls. I think he struck him out at least twice, maybe three times. And I remember Reggie pointing at him with the bat and saying, I'll tell you what. You throw one more pitch near me, and there's going to be a problem. Yeah, I don't think he said that. I think he was a little more verbal than that. But I saw that, okay? I saw that interaction. So fast forward, I don't know if it's the seventh, eighth inning. Pedro's got a perfect game. He hasn't given up a walk. Reggie comes to the plate, and the first pitch squares him up in the back. Reggie, as if you know Reggie at all, is one of the kindest men in the world, but he's one of those guys where you go over the line with him and he snaps. You don't want to be around.
But Pedro didn't want to hit him. He had a perfect game going.
Or
no, no, no. 100% Pedro drilled him on purpose.
Even with a perfect game.
He threw away a perfecto.
Without a doubt. Because on this particular day, I had to go up there and get in the box. He wasn't missing an inch from where he wanted to throw the ball. So Reggie gives the point of the bat at him, threatens Pedro, and says, you throw one more near me. And then the next pitch, he drills him in the back. And everybody, Ben, they said what you said. No way he possibly did that. It's a perfect game. You got to know Pedro. You got to know the history. I came up with Pedro in the minor leagues. Pedro doesn't care. Pedro is one of those guys. He does not give a rat's ass about a perfect game. A no-hitter. If he's going to drill you, he's going to drill you. That was part of his persona. That was part of his ambiance, you know, that the mysteriousness. Pedro could drill you at any time. Without a doubt, he drilled. That was one of the biggest fights I've seen. I was in the middle of it. I wasn't throwing any haymakers. I it'd be fun to say that I got bloody. I didn't. I was kind of the, hey, you know, push and try. Hey, get away from him. Get away, you know, breaking it up. But Pedro, I don't think Reggie ever got to Pedro. I think he was in center field by the time Reggie got to the mound. But that was one of the bigger brawls I was in.
Crazy that he would give up a perfect game just to make a point.
I'll go to my grave. Absolutely no question in my mind he drilled him on purpose.
Oh, wow. I can't even.
That's incredible.
How tough was it to face that guy? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Oh, man, on a good day, he was tough. He had 4-plus pitches. And, you know, it's tough enough when a guy has 2-plus pitches. But Pedro, in his day, for about 3 or 4 years, he had 4-plus pitches. He could throw any pitch at any time. So is that 3-1 changeup? Is it that 3-1 slow hook, that 3-1 slider, that electric fastball painted? So, he was something. I found a way, when Pedro was pitching, or any elite number one type guy, always my mentality was a knock and a walk. If I can get a knock today and I can walk, pull a 1-for-3, I'm going to help my team maybe win a game today. Because those guys, you got to take what you can get. Pedro was definitely tough. I think I got him a couple times, though. I took him deep.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. Brett,
but I'll tell you, it was no fun facing him.
Great stuff, as always. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon. Thank you, man. Have a great rest of your week. There is Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider Calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
What a story.
That's incredible. He's not going to want to walk you, so look for low and away, but watch out for in your ear. Oh, yeah, I guess he didn't care that he had the perfect game going. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rinder Report. Maybe get a crossover later in our final segment with Annie and Elston on a Wednesday, a woodsless Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.